The Biden administration is now promising enough COVID-19 vaccines for every adult by the end of May, 2 months ahead of expectations. And as part of that effort, the president announced a collaboration between two competitors. Merck will help produce the newly authorized Johnson & Johnson shot. So how will that work? Brooke Baker is a professor at Northeastern University School of Law with a focus on intellectual property and access to medicine. He joins us on Skype. Professor, welcome.
Good to be here. Thanks for asking me.
So the Biden administration said Johnson & Johnson has been falling behind in manufacturing, and so that's where Merck's production capabilities come in. How important could this partnership be for increasing supply, and how will it work with rivals suddenly cooperating?
Well, I think it's a very significant step forward, though, you know, not enough, but a good step forward to put U.S. dollars to work and for a major vaccine manufacturer to repurpose its facilities to make a more successful vaccine candidate. So Merck has not yet announced how much vaccine it hopes to make of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but it certainly will be in the hundreds of millions of doses we would expect and will come online later in the year. It'll take a little while to change over the manufacturing facilities and to achieve regulatory approval, but then literally tens and hundreds of millions of doses may be available towards the end of the year. They may be available for use in the U.S., but hopefully they'll be made available for countries around the world, which, as most of your listeners will know, have far less access to effective COVID vaccines than we in rich countries, especially the U.S.
Yes, so there's a long-term play here. But this, of course, wouldn't have been Merck's first choice. They had their own vaccine candidate that was not successful. So why would Merck agree to this? I mean, what does the company get in return?
One, it's the investment is being borne by the U.S., so there's little out-of-pocket cost to Merck, and of course, it will get compensated for vaccine sales. It also is a reputational boost, but you know, a more cynical view is that the major big pharma companies are trying to control global supply within their existing cartel, and not really to cooperate with a broader-based demand that's been made by developing countries in particular, and by the WHO, that there be significant investments to expand manufacturing capacity and use existing manufacturing capacity in low and middle income countries.
Well, let me ask you to expand on that point. And as you use the word cartel, that's sort of strong language. And you wrote in a blog post for the Health Global Access Project, which is an advocacy group, that these companies shouldn't be viewed as liberators because they're actually refusing to share their vaccine technologies and know-how with other countries, even if they are cooperating on manufacturing. And you say that's going to cause the pandemic to drag on. Explain what you mean.
Well, these vaccine candidates were, for all intents and purposes, started a year ago, right? And there was very quick sharing of genomic information on COVID-19 that allowed vaccine manufacturers to get a huge jump start last winter and spring. And way last year, the WHO established something called the COVID-19 Technology Access Pool to get vaccine manufacturers and medicines manufacturers and diagnostic manufacturers to basically pool their technology so that we could begin to scale up manufacturing capacity as quickly as possible. Not a single company, and certainly not a single vaccine company, has put one iota of its technology into that pool yet.
Could the president then, Professor, do more under the Defense Production Act on that front? We do see the president invoking this Korean War era law to some degree. He's going to give Merck priority for equipment and materials to manufacture these J&J vaccines. The prior administration got some criticism for not using the DPA enough during the pandemic. So is the president using the law to its full capacity?
Could he compel
them to share intellectual property?
Yes, it is a positive step to expand manufacturing capacity and particularly to repurpose some of the existing capacity. But there is more that could be done. There is spare capacity and capacity that should be brought on board in other countries and in other regions. So I think the president could go a couple steps further. He could make it clear to drug companies that they have to share the recipes to allow producers in other regions to come on board. That production will need some financing. It's actually possible under the Defense Production Act, not just to build manufacturing supply capacity in the U.S., but also to do so abroad. So this would mean President Biden actually bringing the drug companies into the Oval Office and banging heads a little bit and said, we've got to share these recipes globally. They have entered into agreements with some other major contract manufacturers like Serum Institute in India, which is the largest vaccine manufacturer in the world. But there's lots of other capacity that is underutilized at present that could be repurposed or even greenfield built if needed to prepare us for the next phases of this pandemic and also for future pandemics as well.
Brooke Baker is a professor at Northeastern University School of Law with a focus on intellectual property and access to medicine. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.